Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf, Bechiras Daf Chaf Zayin. We are holding on Chaf Vav Amud Beis, 9 lines from the bottom at the 2 dots. So it's back, referring back to the halacha that we learned in the Mishnah. Interesting halacha, that although the Bechir, the firstborn kosher animal, is meant to be delivered to a kohen. However, Mishnah instructs the owner, the animal raiser, farmer, to hold on to the newborn for a specific amount of time by a bechir, behemodaka, by a goat and sheep. It's a minimum of 30 days prior to giving it to the kohen. The reason being, explains the Rambam, because you meant to give the kohen something honorable, something that are covered, rather than giving him a brand newborn with all its tenderness and needs. You're not meant to have the kohen saddled with tending to this delicate newborn, which he may or may not know how to do. Rather, you're meant to raise it yourself till it achieves some minimal, threshold of development, and then hand it to the kohen. However, says the Mishnah, let's say the kohen offers to take it earlier. Im amar le ha-kohen b'teich ha-zman, suppose the kohen offers the farmer within this 30-day period, t'neoli, I'll take it from you now. Can you? No. Ha-reza le-itanle, you can't give it to him. Why? My time? Amar ha-sheshes. Because, in effect, the kohen is now giving the farmer a perk. He's relieving him of his obligation that the Torah mandates. We learned it from a pasuk. And now, it's like he's doing a deal. He's like giving the farmer something in exchange for the Bechor in a meant to get anything in return for gifts for Matanis Kahuna and Levia and Aniyim, we'll see in a minute. They're not meant to pay you off. They're not meant to give you anything in exchange. These are meant to be one-way gifts. They're covered to Hashem's, legion, right? But in this case, he's getting something in return. He's being relieved of his duty, of his obligation to raise the animal. Amar Sheshes, because it appears, it presents like a kohen, Hamasaye, who's giving a hand, he's out in the farm, out in the granary, so that he gets, the truma in exchange. Here too, it's like the kohen is giving you something in exchange for the bechor, you're not meant to do that. Tanur Rabbanan, in fact, let's move on to that halacha. We learn in the Braisa, Hakehanim, Halavim, Vaniim. So all these individuals who are entitled to certain gifts, Truma, Maser Sheni, Maser Rishon, Maser Oni, Hamesayim, Besakroni, Arayim. But suppose they come help in the Beis Harayim, where the animals are being raised. Aray is the shepherd, right? So they come feed the animals. Right, so this is the kohen who wants to get the bechor, and likewise by the Levi, by the Ani, each one in his context. Ubebeis Hagronis, they come help in the granary where they know that the kohen does it so that he gets his truma, the Levi that he gets his meiser, and likewise the Ani. Ubebeis Hamid Bechayim, this is back to the kohen. He's coming to help in the butcher store. He's there right and early to help out. Why? He has a hidden agenda because he's going to get the portions, the zroya, the chayim, that belong to the kohen. So in all these cases, we don't give it to them. Ein noisnin lem truma, umasa bischar, you can't give them anything in exchange for their work. They don't belong there. They're meant to get it free of charge. V'moisin kain, now if they proceed in this manner, chilulu, they have now desecrated these gifts by turning it into some sort of wheel and deal. V'alei nakosav oimer, shichatem risa levi. Right? You've degraded, you've desecrated the bris, the covenant, the entitlements of the Shevet Levi, right? They serve Hashem, and in exchange, we give it to them. They're not meant to serve us. But furthermore, it says, it's even more severe than that. It can generate Misa Chas V'Shalom. It's Koshev in Yisrael, Yisrael Chalav L'Yisrael Musu. Avoid death by desecrating. What's the added point of the added pasuk? Perhaps you'll say, okay, it's not the best behavior, but Misa? Toshma comes the pasuk and says, yep, it can result in Misa. So now let's say the farmer did get some service in exchange for the truma. Initially, the chachamim were thinking, okay, we'll penalize him and make them redo the truma. Do truma again. So why didn't they require them to do it again? Because it can cause confusion, more harm than good. Why didn't they penalize them to redo it? Because let's say he has this container from which he did the initial truma and gave it to the kohen in exchange for some, you know, help in the farm. Let's say we invalidate it, so to speak, and we require him to do another one. Now, second time around, there's another container of produce which had never yet been tithed, right? Totally tevel, which is chayv min ha-Torah, versus the first container, which is really min ha-Torah exempt. It's done min ha-Torah. So this is really potter, and the new one is chayv. And he'll say, well, he won't perceive the difference. He'll say, okay, if I'm obligated on truma on both, let me just do truma on one for both. So do truma from the old container, which is technically potter. He'll take a little extra to accommodate the new one as well, which is chayv min ha-Torah, and that's called min ha-Torah l'chayv, and it doesn't work. So in order to avoid any confusion, we did not penalize him to this extent. Ubuchulan, the Brisa continues, although the kain or the levi or the ani himself is not meant to offer anything directly to the farmer or to the butcher, but there is some sort of side, you know, benefit that the owner can get from this whole system. Ubuchulan yeshbehen, it's called toivas hano. We turn to the next amud. Toivas hano labailam, a little bonus payout the owner can get by way of a third party. So let's say, the neighbor, his name is Mr. Yisrael, says, look, my dear farmer, neighbor, my grandson happens to be a kayan, my daughter's son. How about, would you consider giving him the truma from your new crop, £1 million there? I'll give you $10. So, yeah, the farmer can accept it. That much he's allowed to do. Keitzad, for example, Yisrael shehifresh truma mikiriya. So the Yisrael farmer is about to, give away the truma that he tithed off his granary. Umatza Yisrael Acher, he came off his pile, a big amount of truma, and he meets up with another Yisrael, his neighbor, and he says, Amar loy, helucha selazah, take this dollar, utnei ulevem biti kain, and please forward the truma off your kri, off your pile, to my grandson, the kain, nimutar, that's okay. So that much benefit he can get, sort of side benefit he can get, but not directly dealing with the kohen. Im haya kohen le kohen asur. It's the kohen offering him, even for his grandson, that's awesome, because again, it looks like the kohen is wheeling and dealing. V'tana, my time, l'omak matnes kuhuna. Now, the Tana, who gave us an example of, Teves Hano, specifically cited the case of Truma. What happened to the other, matnes kuhuna, like Bechor and Zroya? Why did he specify only Truma? Because apparently, that system can apply to anything. Pay him off to give the Bechor to his grandson. Amalach, the answer is like this. The Tana will hold, no, only by Truma, which is the Kedushas HaGufi, which is inherently Kaddish, and Zor eats it, it gets Misa, right? So there, there's no room for confusion if we allow this bonus payoff. The Kivin Dloy Mischla, since the Truma cannot become redeemed, there's no Chilul applicable to actual, Truma. You can't redeem it, you can't transfer the Kedusha onto money. So now, nobody in his mind will think that there was some sort of conversion here through this payout. Lo Yasul Amitiba, but people will not get the wrong perception and think, well, when he paid him the dollar, really it was a Chilul, and that's why Lo Yasul Amitiba, and people will not make this mistake. But Hani, as opposed to B'choy or Zroya L'chayim V'keva, which are really monetarily kaddish. It's a monetary obligation to give the kayan, and once he gets it, he can, it's a b'chor bal mum, and the kayan shechts in his backyard, and he has some meat, he can sell it to the Yisrael, not a problem. It's his to sell. Kivan Avalhani, Kivan the Kedushas Damim Ninu, and certainly this Royal Chayim Bekeva, Eva of any animal, has no Kedusha, it's just that you're obligated to give it to the Kohen, you can turn around and give it back to you and sell it to you. So it's only Kedushas Damim, it's a monetary type of identity. Asi Lemita Bahain, there's room for misconception. if we allow this payout, people might think, since the bar mischal hu, or savar mitchal k'dusha sayu, different gersa, so the onlooker will mistakenly perceive it as though it's a chilul. Mischal k'dusha sayu, arba zuzi, the k'dusha of these items have now been transferred onto the four coins, basically, you know, an expression, this money, this payoff. And they'll perceive it to be ordinary material going forward. V'asil minig b'han minig d'chulim. And they'll treat this meat like regular chulin, and not eat it with, you know, as she says, the way you meant to eat the bechor or the zroya in a royal fashion, roasted, you know, with mustard, in an honorable way, the way the kohen would eat it. So they'll mistakenly believe it to be just plain downgraded meat, and that's what we don't allow. We don't allow, you know, anybody paying you off to facilitate transfer to his grandson. It's limited to truma, where there will be no room for misunderstandings. Amar Rava. Okay, so now that we concluded that a kohen is not allowed to solicit his gifts, a kohen is not allowed to be misayyeh b'sagronis, give you a hand in the granary, come help you on the farm, in order to receive his share. That's limited to truma min ha-Torah, truma min Eretz Yisrael, but interestingly, there was a truma chutz la'aretz. So outside Eretz Yisrael, the Chacham instituted truma as well. And we have, you know, a lot of leniencies applied to that truma. This concept of, you know, kohen misayeya doesn't apply. We learned about, we're going to learn about being bata baroiv. So typically truma needs 100 times as much to be bata by a chutz la'aretz. Majority is enough. We're going to learn about even giving it to a kohen who's tamei. So a lot of lenient factors applied to Trumas Chutz La'aretz. Amar Rav, first, is Trumas Chutz La'aretz Ein Bamishum Koinem Asiyeh V'Sagronais. Since it's only the Rabbanu, Chacham were not so strict, and you know, the Koin is allowed to solicit his share. In fact, Rav Chama, you have a little Shame. Rav Chama had a helper, a Shamas, who was a Koin, and he gave it to him. Despite the fact that it pretty much was a tit for tat, he helped him out and he worked with him, and some learned he actually paid him with it. It was a schar. It was instead of wages. So there was no issue of kohen misayeya. Furthermore, Mashmuel, although typically when truma gets mixed into chulin, you need 100 times as much chulin to be mabatal the truma, to nullify the truma, but chutz la'aretz, all you need is 51%, majority. Majority of chulin in the mix, you're good. On Mashmuel truma's chutz la'aretz, betel b'roiv. In fact, Rabba, who's a kohen, when he got truma, mabatal b'roiv. So you would take the truma that he got, mix it into a majority of chulin, this way he would eat the whole mix, even when he was tummy, he would treat it like regular material. So he too was a kohen when he got delivered some wine of truma, and it was chutz la'aretz truma, so he would mix it with regular wine and be mevatel it. Natli is like a pitcher, so two pitchers of chulin, two amounts, with one amount, equal amount of truma, b'chad not the truma, so it was one and two, and this way it was batal baroy, b'shakul chad, you would pull out a pitcher, and you would just, you know, treat it like regular material, become elach going forward, rami chad b'shakul chad, you would pour in a pitcher of truma, and take out another pitcher of material, and treat it as chulin, because once the initial truma got batal into two, so now we view the whole thing as chulin. So going forward, any amount that you pour in there, just one pitcher of truma mixed into the two sitting there, they're both presumed to be chulin, so two gets one, and it's batal. In line with the halacha, the truma's chutz la'aretz is batal baroy. Another leniency, v'amar shmol truma's chutz la'aretz, regarding truma outside Eretz Yisrael, oichav ohelech. So typically you have to remove the truma before you eat. No, you can eat, and just leave a little bit at the end, v'achach mafresh, and mafresh at the end. V'amar shmol, a fourth kula, Ein trumas chutz la'aretz asura. Ela b'misha tuma yotzel migufa. Typically, only a kohen who's tar can eat truma. But a chutz la'aretz, it's allowed for a kohen that's tamei, unless he's experiencing a personally generated truma, like a zav, a zava, nida, all these that are personally generated through an emission. So that's a more strict type of tuma. Vani b'l'vachila. When is it not allowed for these fellows to eat? Avo b'negi elasun baba, to touch. So even this type of kohen can touch. There's no isra to be matame truma chutz la'aretz. Amar Ravina Hilkach, says Ravina, therefore, Nida, if a woman is a nida, kaitza challah, so she can separate the dough, offer, or, you know, the challah offer dough, and give it to a vaychala, a kain katan, who eats it, a minor, a kain who hasn't yet experienced any tumma, any personal tumma, and let him eat it. Vilek a kain katan, if there's no such kain in the area, so she has to burn it. Shakla berish masa, she lifts the this piece of dough with the tip of her like a shovel that they use to you know, handle the coal. So basically, rather than touch it directly, there's no purpose. Why touch it directly and make it tummy? Then Vishad B'tanu, she throws it into the oven to burn it up. But listen to this. Since ultimately there was no truma given to a kayin, there's a requirement to be mafresh another challah. Right? Since the first challah was burned, v'hadar, she turns around and again, mafresh l'challah chvitis, she separates another little piece of challah. And this time she gives it to a real kayin. Ki echad eloi tishtakach teres challah, so that people outside of Israel shouldn't forget about the concept of challah, that it's meant to be given to a kohen. So they'll always see the challah being burnt, so they'll become unmindful of the proper system. So we require another hafrasha, which doesn't really have challah status, in which case you can give it to any kohen, even an adult who's truly tummy, v'achal kohen gadol, and give it to a big kohen, and he'll eat it. Okay, so we have four kulais regarding trumas chutz laretz. There's no issue of kohen masayeya, Pito Baroiv, Oichel Vachach Mafresh, and even a Kohen Tummy can eat it. Rav Nachman, Rav Amram, Rav Bar Chama, these three great men, Abu Kazli Ba'arba, traveling on a boat. Slik Rav Amram Lifnir, when he left, Rav Amram left for a minute to attend to his needs. Asoi Tasa, Alas Kamayu, so this woman comes over to the remaining two Chachamim with a Shaila. Rav Amram, she tells him like this, Tzmei Meis, person who became Tummy through a Meis. Okay, so he needs, ideally, in the time of the Middash, we had the Paraduma ashes sprayed on him, then he has Tvila, then he has to wait for nightfall. Suppose he didn't have all the different steps done. He only did Tvila. Is that sufficient to give him access to Truma of Chutz La'aretz? Tmei meis ma'o shi'itpol v'oichol Truma of Chutz La'aretz. Okay, so what's the status? Can he eat Truma of Chutz La'aretz? Amar lei. So the question was, yeah, there was tevila, but not yet Herav Shemesh. Amar le Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman turned L'Ram Bacham. He says, Chiyazo yesh lanu? I mean, either way. The proper procedure is not going to be done regardless. Because there's no Hazah. There's no Efer Paraduma. So yeah, you don't need Herav Shemesh. That was his initial response. Amalei Ram Bar Chama. So Ram Bar Chama says, you know, let's just wait until the Saba. Shouldn't we be concerned about the honor of the Saba, of the third Chacham, Rav Amram? Let's wait until he returns to conclude. Okay, so when he came back, Amar Luz, upon hearing the question, Amar Luz, he tells them, Hachim Rav, I'll quote you Rav. Rav told us, Tmei Meis, Toivel Va'echel, Betrumas Chutz La'aretz, Tmei Meis, will do Tvila, and he can eat the Truma even without Erev Shemesh. So that was his response as well. But the Gemara comes back and says, no, V'leis, Hilchas HaKavasei, the Halacha L'mais is not like that, rather, you need to complete both steps of the Tahara, Tefillah, and Erev Shemesh, despite the fact that you can't do the ultimate Tahara, which is Paraduma, but at least whatever you can do, we do all the way. Another halacha, the Amar, some change it to Amar, as a new statement, Amar, so Trumish Shmeid Rav Sheshes, Tameh Sheretz, a fellow touched a dead lizard, he becomes Tameh, he requires Tefillah and Erev Shemesh. Suppose he did one, not the other, Toivav Eichel B'Trumas Chutz La'aretz, you can do Tefillah, and then proceed and consume the Trumah of Chutz La'aretz. It does not require to complete the process with step two of Herav Shemesh. However, the Gemara disagrees, but less, Hilchasuk, we say we don't paskin like that. Rather, he has to do both. He has to do Tvila and Herav Shemesh. Now, apparently this whole Gemara is different than the, unlike Shmuel, who told us a minute ago that even a regular Tameh can eat Trumas Chutz La'aretz as long as it's not a personal Tumah. We're not going with that track right now, working that you have to be tired. The question is, to what extent do we need Herav Shemesh as well? Some said it's not required, but not so machmer, by Chutz Lord, and the Gemara concluded that if you're going to do it, you have to do it all the way. Okay, B'chor Nechal Shana B'Shana. The Mishnah we learned that the B'chor is meant to be consumed within its first year. So before its first birthday. The Kamar Noel by Mum Tech Shana Sai. So, you know, the wording, right, Shana B'Shana, can mean both ways. It can mean that you eat it within its first year since birth, or it can also mean in that calendar year. But from the words of the Mishnah, which speaks about a mum that was that surfaced within its shnasai, its year, indicate that we're talking about its age. The memra, apparently the lashana di day manina, were counting based on his age, not based on the calendar year. Okay, so he's born Lag Boimer this year, he has until next Lag Boimer, so I take care of it. Says the matter, we know this whole halacha, minan emili. Damar vidamar rav, damar kod, the pasuk said, l'fnei Hashem ha-kachat, echlenu shana b'shana. The pasuk said, ita b'char, shana b'shana, year by year. What does that mean? So we have a drasha, ezehu shana. Find me a type of year which could intersect with another year. What's that? The year that is of the Bechor's age, which is not in line with the calendar year, and that year can intersect, can sort of drive into the next year, right? Because it's about the calendar year, so the year is over, you know, Rosh Hashanah. But if it's an age-based time frame, so from this Lag Boimer of this year into the next Lag Boimer of next year, Shana B'Shana. So apparently we're speaking about age versus calendar years. Dvei Rav Tana, in the Bespendish of Rav, they presented from a different brisa that we calculate based on his age, his year. The pasuk says Shana B'Shana. Sorry, in Beirav, they learned this pasuk for a different halacha. For a different halacha. It says, Shana B'Shana, Idim Shana B'Shana. What does that mean? Idim, through 2 years. So we're speaking about the time frame, the Zman Achil of a Bechor. Once you shecht it as a carbon, how long do you have to eat it? 2 days. Which can turn out to be in 2 years, right? One day of this year, the last day of this year, and the first day of the next year. So it can stretch into 2 years. So the pasuk here is providing a source for the time frame of the achila of the bechor. Yom echad b'shana zu, yom echad b'shana zu. Shana b'shana means the last day of this year, first day of the next year, to indicate the length of the zman achila. We learn from here. So it's teaching us al bechor shenechal shnei yom v'layla echad. The bechor has an extended consumption time frame similar to a shlamim, 2 days and a night, 2 days and the night in between. Now, so according to Beirav, who used the pasuk for the time frame, how did they know the first halach that the year is calculated based on his age rather than on the calendar, you know, year? Menalu, nothing mikachin. They learn from karbanis. Rashi explains there are other karbanis as well that have to be brought within the, you know, first year of their existence, before the prior to their first birthday. We have keves ben shnasai, right? So yeah, we learn from there that in fact it's based on his age. V'kotshem gufay minol. How do we know in a regular carbon that it's in fact calculated based on age? Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov makro keves ben shnasai, his personal year shnasai shalai, his year based on his birthday. V'lo shana shal minin ayim, as opposed to the year based on the counting on the calendar. Okay, v'Rav nechal. So we have two approaches to the sugya of Rav, that the birthday requirement is learned from Shana B'Shana. We have Devei Rav, the Braisa that was taught in the Beis Medrash of Rav, who learns it from Keves Mishnasoi. Now, the Veda, I've learned Shana B'Shana to teach us the Achila, the time frame for eating it. And now, what's left is Rav. Rav, how does he know? The two-day Achila time frame of the Bechor. Rav, Nechel, Shnei Melechem, no, how does he know that Aloha? Nafkali learns it from a different pasuk. Me, from Uvisoram Yelecho. So the pasuk is referring to the Bechor. The pasuk of the Bechor will be to you like the Torah equates it to Yelecho Gechazei Atznufoch Shaykh Yomim. The Chazei, the Shaykh, the portions of the carbon that's given to the Kayin, so that's done by Eshlamim. You have Eshlamim, the owner gives those parts to the Kayin. He does Tnufa, he does Truma, right? He waves it up and down, he gives it to the Kayin. And they're eaten for the same exact duration as the Shlamim itself, which is 2 days and a night. The fact that the Pasuk compares the Bechor to these items tells us that just like over there, it's 2 days here as well. Torah is comparing the Bechor to these items of the Shlamim. Just like over there, it's 2 days and a night. Afkan, here as well by the Bechor, you eat it for Shneyam Lalechot. Return to the next one. Now the other Shita, he didn't go to this Pasuk for a source. You know why? Because it's not conclusive. V'idach, imi hasam. If only from that Pasuk, from the comparison to the Chazav Shaykh, maybe you can argue that we're not talking about the portions of the Shlamim which have an extended consumption period. Maybe Chazav Shaykh shal toida. You know, even a toida as well also has this requirement that you take these portions, give it to the kohen. And by a toida, it's a much shorter time frame. It's just a day and a night. So you can't learn a 2 day period from the Yevidach. Now, Rav, who did choose to learn from this pasuk, maybe he's talking about a toida, which has a shorter time frame, akra. Take a look at the next part of the pasuk. It says, L'chayiyya. L'chayi is an extra expression in the pasuk to extend Izman Achila B'Bachar. Hoisev L'chakos V'Avai Acheres. The Torah is giving you an extra extension B'Bachar, and instead of just the day and a night compared to the Chazav Sheikh of the Shlamim of the Toidam, it goes further for an extra day. V'idach, the other Shita, why didn't he learn from this Pasuk? Imi Hasam, because if only from that Pasuk, Ikalamim, I can say, Hai Yelacha, this extra expression Yelacha has a different purpose, different application. Limei is coming to teach Al Bukhar Ba'al Mom, Shnesin L'Kayin, to tell you that a Bukhar, even if it's blemished, it belongs to the Kayin, which is something an anomaly, something unusual. Shalom Atzinloi, Bukhar Terakul, we don't look around the whole time, we don't find a source that a Bukhar which had already a mum is meant to be given to a kohen. An unblemished, okay, what about a blemished Bukhar? That's what's learned from Bukhayyah. This too, this brand of Bukhar as well is delivered to the kohen. V'idach. Now the other opinion already learned from Bukhayyah for the time frame, how does he know that a Bukhar Balmum goes to the kohen? Amar. Ubisaram. Look at the pasuk. It says Ubisaram. Psarim is plural. There are two versions of Bukhar. Echa tam, echa b'amun. Whether it's a tam or b'amun, both go to the kohen. V'idach. The other opinion didn't want to go to this pasuk, because Ubisaram, although it's plural, it's just an expression. Dehani Bukharis, the kul Yisrael ka'amar. Psarim can mean, you know, the regular standard Bukhar, unblemished Bukhar, from all of them, from all of Yisrael. It's a general reference to the collective, you know, obligation to forward our Bukhar into the Kohen, perhaps only this particular version, the Tam. And therefore we need another Pasuk to add the Balmum as well. Okay, so bottom line, the Matanis, Kohen, Levi, etc. are meant to be given their Kavod in a gracious, honorable way, without receiving anything in return, just supporting Hashem's legion, Hashem's team, so to speak. And you're not meant to be Messiah B'Sagulamis. although Teves Hanah is allowed by the Truma. Now, regarding Trumas Chutz La'aretz, we have many Kulois. There's no issue of Kayim Sayeya, it's Batal Baroiv. You can be Mafish at the end, sort of retroactively, and according to Shmuel, there's no issue of giving it to a Kohen who's tummy. If it's a regular, you know, type of standard tumah as opposed to tumah yitzim gufay. Regarding the Bukhar, it's meant to be looked after within its first year. And if it's in fact an unblemished and offered as a carbon, you have 2 days and a night, just as a shlamim. All the best to you, Natzlacha Rav.